Shortly after her husband, Jim Elliott, and four other missionaries were speared to death trying to reach out to a tribal group in Ecuador, Elizabeth Elliott was able to live and work with the same tribe for 2 years. It's a remarkable story of forgiveness, love, and the power of the gospel to change lives. Through her visits here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth continues to reach out with the timeless message of hope and healing. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about a quiet and humble life. How much quiet is there in your life? Is there a time for stillness? I have been greatly blessed in having lived in quiet places, and I know that is conducive to stillness and quietness before God. It's not nearly as difficult for me to arrange quiet time as it would be for many of you, probably for most of you. And for a couple of years, I lived in a little place in the jungle of Ecuador called Tiwano. It was just a clearing in the eastern jungle, what's called the Amazon rainforest. And one of the things that I loved about it was the wonderful silence. At noon, there would be hardly a sound. At night, there would be the tree frogs, and some of them made very interesting noises. Occasionally, I would hear the puma's whistle. A puma is a jaguar, and the Indians said that they whistled, and they pointed it out to me. I would have thought it was a bird, but they told me that it was a jaguar. Occasionally, we would hear the night birds. I remember one that would go doot, 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 doot. And then we would hear the river quietly rippling, unless there was a rainstorm, in which case it would be roaring. And barely could we even hear the rain on a thatched roof. It's very quiet. And I lived with a people who spoke softly. They were not infected with any faintest notion of competition. They seemed to me to be very humble, genuinely humble, minding their own business, working with their own hands. I read yesterday a verse that my father had chosen as the topic of his talk to a bunch of high school boys way back in the 1940s. The verse was 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. How many of us can say that it is our ambition to lead a quiet life? I would think it would be very common for people to say, it's my ambition to lead an exciting life, a fulfilling life, a life packed with activities, things to do, places to go. Here's a scriptural command to make it our ambition to lead a quiet one. I hope that I have learned many things from those quiet Indians in the jungle, which I still apply. They reiterated to me what my father had taught in these three injunctions in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. My father taught us also to stand still and to be still. We had to sit still at home, at the table, in family prayers, and in the car. When we went out for walks in the woods with my father, he taught us to stand still and listen quietly for the birds, for the possible rustle of an animal in the underbrush, and just to appreciate the quietness. We would climb mountains in New Hampshire, and before we reached the timberline, we would stand in the forest quietly, and occasionally would hear the song of the hermit thrush or the white-throated sparrow. Listen, he would say. He taught us to listen. And if we don't make ourselves quiet and choose to listen first to God and then to the sounds of nature, we're not going to hear them. I've heard it said that the only thing a New Yorker can hear over the traffic in New York is a dime hitting the sidewalk. and my father often proved to us that the average person on a city street does not hear birds, because my father had a bird call for each of us children. And if we were in a crowded room or perhaps on a city street, his method of calling us would be to give that bird call. Hardly anybody else ever heard it. Even inside a house, people don't listen. How can we be spiritually attentive to God? Only by an act of our will. We must choose to be quiet. And God commands us, be still and know that I am God. We might say to ourselves, shut up, and know that He is God. As long as the noisy restlessness of our thoughts goes on, the gentle and holy desires of the new nature are overpowered and inactive. We don't always hear God because of the noise, hurry, and distraction which life causes as it rushes on. Do you make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, or mainly to make sure you don't miss out on anything the world says you gotta do, you gotta get it, you gotta see it, you gotta go to this movie, you gotta have it, you gotta taste it, you gotta read it, you gotta watch it? Are you sure you gotta do that? The Bible says you gotta lead a quiet life. And those are three simple things. Lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your own hands. Those three things are closely related. Our conscience is easily blunted when we give ourselves no time to think, listen, pray, adore. I read the mail that comes to me from my radio listeners. So often, though, I think if this person who has this seemingly insoluble problem that they expect Elizabeth Elliot to be able to solve for them, if they would actually take time to be quiet before God, to think in His presence, to listen to what He wants to say, just to be silent in adoration before Him, I believe that God would give them the answer. I believe that they would see their own problem, this thing which seems so impossible, in a very different light. When we look at things in the presence of God, He shines His light on them, and it points up aspects that we could not have seen without having taken time to be quiet and to look at the thing in His presence. How shall we hear God speak if we're not quiet? How shall we correct our faults without quietness and humility? Is there someone listening to me who is greatly gifted? Do those gifts make you humble, modest, and submissive? Or do you want to display them to make sure that you drop names, draw attention to yourself, or make a show of humility? Forgetfulness of the self is far more beautiful than physical beauty, which is self-conscious. Worldly honors are acceptable to him who receives them indifferently, someone has said, without resting in them, without seeking them eagerly, and forgetting that they are gifts. Those who aim at virtue do not trouble themselves about honors. Those who aim at virtue do not trouble themselves about honors. How shall we acquire this quietness, this reminder to do our own business and to work with our hands? We have to pray. We have to ask the Lord to help us to do it. Some of you perhaps listen to me from time to time and you think, oh, our standards are just impossible. I mean, they're just way too high. First, I'd like to remind you that they're not my standards, you know, they're God's. I'm not here to give you my ideas of how life ought to be. I'm just here to tell you what God says. And God is there not only giving us these directions, but he is waiting for us to ask him for his help. He says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened. Have you asked God to show you how to create stillness in your life? Have you asked him to help you quit minding other people's business? He'll help you with that. He loves to hear that kind of prayers. He's waiting. He says, you have not because you ask not. How often that's the case with us. That's why I've been keeping a little notebook of prayer requests. Because if I'm wondering, why has such and such a thing not happened, I can check back in my little notebook and think, well, I never did pray for that. It didn't even cross my mind to pray for that. Ask, and ye shall receive. Ask God to give you the humility that accepts a quiet life. It does take a certain kind of humility, doesn't it? It takes humility to keep your nose out of other people's business. And it takes humility to be willing to work with your hands if you happen to have a very brilliant mind. Do you expect that God is going to give you only intellectual work? Do you expect that other people are going to appreciate your IQ? Forget it. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your own hands.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.